Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. I just wanted to take a moment to speak to all you females out there who are leading in a place of influence or with a title. Maybe in business, in nonprofits, or in ministry, and you're looking for a place for a mentor, a coach, someone to come alongside you in a confidential space that can help you really navigate the challenges you are facing as a female leader. We are passionate about helping leaders live with integrity here at Living Wholehearted. And integrity is more than just doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's about bringing all of who we are, our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, before God and before others. And this takes great intentionality. In fact, these cohorts are a slow and steady drip within the context of 10 to 12 intentional leaders from around the country, where you get to have individual coaching that's very customized to you and your leadership, helps you understand your story, your wiring, and your limitations, and learning to live within your design, as well as what is toxic or what is healthy leadership look like in your systems. And you get to have group sessions with our executive coaching team, that includes me. And you also get to have two-day retreats out in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. It is spectacular here. In fact, some people say they sign up for our cohorts just to be able to come out to Oregon because it's incredible terrain out here. We would love to have you if you are a female leader looking for a community, a coach, and a place to really grow. Sadly, women often don't have the same access to leadership development as men do in the workplace. And so we want to provide this for you. Maybe you're an emerging leader who is longing for a place where you can unpack the desires of your heart and to do this well so you don't become one of those leaders that burns out down or has a moral failure or is living outside of your concentric circles and your priorities and trying to wrestle with juggling. How do I do life at home and in my call? Or maybe you're a seasoned leader who just needs a place to be able to unpack all the things that you've been carrying all these years and to really make sense and meaning to grieve and process so that you can run your race, that you can finish your race well. Wherever you're at in the spectrum of your leadership, this cohort is for you. And we're so excited to be able to come alongside you. Applications are now open in the month of May for our next women's cohort, which will start in July and it runs for a year. More details, go to livingwholehearted.com/cohort and you can apply there today. Well, it's Mental Health Awareness Month and we're addressing mental health on many levels. And as Christians, it is a passion of ours to really help connect the dots between that biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom, recognizing that God wants all of who we are, our mind, our soul, our body, our relationships. And so often it's easy to compartmentalize as Christians to think that God only just wants our soul and we forget about our bodies and we get confused about what mental health really is. And so today we're going to have a conversation with an amazing woman who really has a heart to help the church understand mental health, as well as she's a storyteller. She's an author. She's raised 4 kids and she's a beautiful writer. And particularly this devo that she's written called 5-Minute Devotionals for Teens, A Guide to God and Mental Health, has been a beautiful resource and I think would be one in your own family. Today we have Laura Smith with us and I'm so grateful to have you here today, Laura.
Thanks so much for having me back, Tara. What an honor and a treat.
Well, I know that everybody has a story, and our stories really impact who we are, the kind of leaders we are in our homes, in our work, and in our communities. Many of us try to forget our past and move on, and that ends up leaking at some point in our lives. So we're all about helping people really understand their stories, how it's brought them to who they are, and the call that's on their life, and the kind of leader that they are. So talk a little bit about your story, Laura, and what has given you a passion to work in telling stories, as well as particularly about mental health.
Sure. Well, the story part is easier to talk about. I have always been a bookworm. I have was the little girl who loved to go to the library and take as many books off the shelves as I possibly could and bring them home with me every week just to devour them and go back the next week and get more. So stories have always been an important part of how I've understood the world and a way that I've processed things happening to me and things happening around me. So I'm so grateful for stories. And I think as a result, just love telling them. So the story part's easy. As far as why I'm passionate about mental health, it really roots in my own self. I grew up in a home that looked perfect from the outside. Everyone would have thought that it was a kind of storybook home life. But inside, my father left our family several times. And as a little girl, that did a lot of damage to me. I didn't realize it because it was just the life I had. It's just what our home was. And my mom was super loving and super supportive. And I didn't really realize the damage that had been done and the effect it had on me until much later in life, until I was an adult, really. And I started seeing a counselor who helped me put words to what happened, helped me understand ways I reacted to certain things as a defense mechanism that I had learned as a child, but had no idea I was still doing. And certainly those things weren't relevant to my current life, but we learned these patterns and these habits and they're hard to unlearn. My counselor gave me a ton of language and a ton of tools, and through the process, I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone should see a counselor. Like, this is so helpful just to understand how to better take care of ourselves. And the more I found out and the more I understood, I was like, oh my goodness, all these tips for taking care of my soul, they're actually biblical. So I think this is just this gorgeous thing that God created us, loves us so much that the things he shows us and instructs us in the Bible are things that take care of our mental health. Like, he always intended us for good. And just like a simple example of that is gratitude, right? Like, the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things and give thanks to the Lord. And when we practice gratitude, it actually stops negative thought spirals. So it's like God is telling us, like, the Bible, to give thanks. And also, if we do that, we are thanking God for his goodness. We are seeing his goodness. And at the same time, it's restoring our mental health. And I just think that is so beautiful and so cool that God, like, just wants what's best for us. So anyway, I got really passionate about sharing with people, like, God wants us to have great mental health, just like he wants us to have great spiritual health and great physical health. So long-winded answer to your question, but that's why this matters to me.
I love your long-winded answer. It's beautiful because it is probably, many people can relate, you know, the image we put out. And I think particularly in the church, and with leaders population that we work with, there's an image and an expectation that people have, and we often don't look past the surface. And that's my story too, Laura, is that I was for years struggling with bulimia. Nobody knew because the package looked all put together. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a lot of what drives Jeff and I to really try to say, let's live in reality. And the reality is that we're human beings and God's design is so powerful and so good. And research, it just continues to prove what he had written already in the scriptures. So let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of the tools and the things that you are connecting when you go, oh, I read this in the scripture. You gave us one example of gratitude. And then here's a practice that maybe mental health providers might be helping their clients with.
Sure. I think another
connect
big one
the
is
dot for us.
Yeah. Another big one is community. God said from the beginning when he created Adam that, you know, man is not meant to be alone. Like, it's not good for man to be alone. And that was the first time God said that anything was bad, is when he realized that people shouldn't be alone. And there's certainly good things to being off by ourselves and getting some quiet time and being still, but also we're made for community. And this is something that I think any mental health professional would tell you. Like, you need community to help your mental health. And that's what God has always designed us for. So I think that's super cool. Being out in creation, out in nature, is really good for our mental health. And again, like, God created nature. This makes so much sense that we are out in what He created, that it does help restore our souls, right? Like the sound of a stream or the sound of a bird song or just the change in temperature or the feel of wind, all these things help get us out of some of our negative thought patterns and into the present, and into a spirit of gratitude, because there's so much beauty and creativity out in nature. When we are creative, when we are reflecting the image of God as God the creator, and we do creative practices, this is also really good for our mental health, which once again makes total sense. When we serve others, this is really good for our mental health. It helps us realize actually how much we have. It gives us a sense of self-worth. It gives us a purpose. And of course, you know, Jesus's biggest command to us is to love our neighbors. So like, all of this stuff just makes so much sense. We're like, oh, the mental health professionals are saying doing A, B, and C. And God's like, right. I've always wanted this for you. And I love that it's like, oh, if we serve others, so we're serving them and it also helps us. Like, how cool is that? That God just makes it not just one-dimensional goodness, but multi-dimensional goodness.
I love it. It's so good because you're giving the antidote to a lot of the things that are driving mental health crisis through the roof right now. So the isolation, we're the most connected in all of history through the digital age, but we're not made for these tech devices. We're made for eye-to-eye human connection. Mm-hmm. And COVID just did us in, right? And made it even worse, mm-hmm. especially for the younger generation, which we're going to talk about. But the isolation, so the antidote to that is community and real relationship. And why we need each other. And that's why even the counseling relationship is so powerful. I think even for our listeners to understand is sometimes we just don't have a safe community. And so counselors are a place to practice that, mm-hmm. to get reconnected, to be heard and known and seen in a way that we were made to do. And then maybe to start expanding that again with some people in our community. Sometimes we have to rethink where we're hanging out, and our environments can sometimes be toxic and creating some of the mental health crisis. So you mentioned a bunch more, but let's keep going because I want to make sure we have time to talk about everything. So let's talk about our teens. The question I get all the time is it true that, you know, teens are struggling as bad as all the research says? You know, the high rates of suicide, anxiety is through the roof, depression, addictions. There's some things that they aren't struggling with, like, you know, they're not having sex as early anymore. I mean, they're still maybe addicted to porn, but they're not having sex outside of marriage because they're just delaying all of that. They're not really seeing each other or hanging out in the same ways. But the anxiety is through the roof. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what you've been seeing and your heart for teens and why you're specifically helping them with mental health.
Sure. Well, I have 4 kids of my own and my baby is 16. So I have seen all of them through teen years. And during COVID specifically, 2 of them were sent home to live at home during college. The other 2 were, you know, at home, not in high school and middle school during that time. And, you know, spending hours on their laptops closed in their rooms as they did school online. And I could feel their isolation. I could see it in their eyes. And I mean, there were some lovely family bonding things that happened, you know, as a result of us all being under the same roof. And we had lovely meals together and walks together. And some of those times were priceless, but the way it literally yanked my kids from their realities into kind of a forced isolation was really hard on all of them. And I have certainly, you know, seen them have their high highs and low lows and have witnessed so many of their friends and teammates and classmates experience really, really harsh mental health issues and struggles. So I feel it's so personal, and I love my kids so much, and I want them to thrive and know their value and know that their mental health matters, and that it matters to God, and that I want them to take care of their mental health, but Jesus wants that even more.
As Christian parents, there's so many things that we want to teach our kids about God and His love for us, but leading your family in faith can be overwhelming. What are the most important things to teach, and where do we even begin? I'm really excited to tell you about a great resource from Christian Parenting that will make teaching faith at home simple, engaging, and fun. Love God and Love Others is our 4-week family challenge to help you teach your kids the greatest commandment of all time, to love God and to love others.
Each week, you'll focus on loving God with different aspects of who you are, and it includes a few pages on a portion of the Great Commandment to equip you for the week ahead, scriptures and points of truth for your family to reflect on together, fun challenges to try with your family. And this resource is an amazing opportunity for your family to grow closer to each other and to God as you learn about His steadfast love for you. And you learn how to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. For more information, go get your copy and head over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org. I love it. Would you be willing to just even define mental health? I just realized we're saying that, but maybe there's some people that don't know exactly what we're talking about. So when you say mental health, what are you meaning?
Yeah, so I'm not a mental health professional, so this is not a scientist's opinion on this. That's probably better for you to do. But are we feeling emotionally well and stable would be mental health for me. Just like if your physical health would be, are you physically well and stable? Like, you know, if you have a headache, it sets off your whole day. And if you have a disease, it sets you off much worse. So there are varying degrees of physical and mental health. But if you feel unstable emotionally or unwell emotionally, then your mental health is compromised.
Yeah. And so we have to attune to it. We have to care for it, just like we do our bodies.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are external factors, there's biological factors, and then there are things that we can actually do to help give us a better starting point, right? And that's what you're encouraging, especially when you saw your kids fully isolated and on that digital device. I mean, I love the way that digital world has helped us. I mean, even what we're doing right now, Laura, we can do this because of the digital age.
Right.
And yet, the amount of anxiety that happens by just opening up our phones, being on a computer all day, scrolling through Instagram and Facebook, social media, that actually is adding to our intensity. It's like a buzz happening inside our bodies. And so we have to counter that. And so mental health is also, it's emotional. It's what we think. I heard you talking about our thought life, gratitude, and those negative thoughts, and our emotions and our bodies. They're all connected to this brain, and to be able to help care for that, we've got to feed it well, right? And care for it. So talk a little bit about what your hope was when you wrote this 5-minute devotions for teens. I have to say that my youngest daughter is reading this right now. And it has been beautiful to watch her every day, spend 5 minutes, and it feels very doable for her. And it's been really fun to see at 14 how this is speaking to her. So thank you, Laura.
That makes me so happy.
What was your heart when you when you wrote this? What were you hoping for?
So it's really, honestly, it's a love letter to my kids. I tried to think of the things we've gone through, the things I've prayed over them, the things I've prayed for them that they wouldn't even let me or want me to pray over them. Some of the things I've seen them get through, be faced with. And I wanted to make it super accessible for teens because I know their attention spans are, one, shorter because of the digital age. And two, they live very busy lives and demanding lives. And to say 5 minutes a day, that seems like something most people could fit into their day. I also wanted it to be very practical. So there are tons of mental health tips woven in there, like such as get outside or journal or, you know, help around the house or things that seem so little and simple and easy to do, but can be kind of quick little check-ins with your mental health. And I wanted it to be biblical because I believe that Jesus loves each of us so personally and that he loves our teens and he wants goodness for them. So I wanted my teens, any teen reading this, to know that and believe that down to their core, not just kind of be like, oh yeah, Jesus loves me, but to be like, oh, there is somebody who loves me and there is somebody who cares about me. So each day has a Bible verse. It has a short little devotion. And then there is some sort of action at the end, whether that's a prayer or a journal prompt or an activity, like do something with your hands, bake cookies, or, you know, do a puzzle, or, you know, just so something actionable to make it hopefully stick a little more.
So good. Today, I'll just speak to today. Today was so good. It was every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, right? In James. And it was very much about life is hard. And yet there's these little moments of goodness throughout your day, from like laying on a pillow or getting to have breakfast or putting on your warm clothes, or so being able to focus in on what are the good gifts that you do have today. And we, that is important to draw attention to, especially with an egocentric time for teens. They're very much looking around and thinking, they're so insecure. They're struggling with who am I, the identity formation stage of their life. It's very normal for them to be what a lot of parents will call selfish. And I just say, well, that's just the stage. They're egocentric. So being able to give them a little tip like that, like look up and look out and see what good gifts God's giving you today.
Yeah.
And it will remind you that there's goodness even in the midst of the hard as you go to high school or dealing with, you know, the difficult emotions today.
And I think even with all the comparisons, certainly that our teens are facing, to be able to say, yeah, maybe you don't have that spot on the team or that spot in the play or that job or that car, or those shoes, but look, you have goodness. Like, so not to get lost in what you don't have, but also to focus on what you do have.
And they need a reminder all day long of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all day long, right? Just because and one little reminder is not going to last them for the month or the year. We need to continue to boost them up and to have a safe landing spot in our homes to be able to remind it that you're good and there's goodness in you. I love that. Now, there are teens that are really on the spectrum. So I just want to say, Laura, for our audience, that there are suicidal ideations and real deep, dark depression and real struggling with addictions and hiding, you know, you want to seek a professional in that case. Get someone on the team. Don't dismiss mom and dad. This is an important part. And don't just consider, and prayer is powerful, but prayer is not enough. In this case, God would say, get someone on the team, just like you would for a physical condition. You'd go get a doctor. When we're dealing with mental health, emotional crises, you want to get somebody who has tools and expertise in this. So bring them along. And it'd be great if they knew Jesus as well. There are a lot of wonderful counselors who love the Lord out there. So, and if you're in the Portland area, that's what we're here for at Living Wholehearted. But I do want to talk a little bit about maybe just a couple of those pieces that you think parents need to remember. You've raised four and your youngest is 16. Give some of those parents some encouragement for their own mental health, Laura.
They're teenagers. It's so important for our teens because we love them so much, but we got to take care of ourselves if we're going to be able to take care of them. Right? I've heard often it referred to as that the oxygen on an airplane, right? You have to give yourself oxygen before you're allowed to help the child with you with their oxygen, right? So we have to care for our mental health before we can actually help others care for it well. Listen, parents, we're busy. We're juggling so much, like work and volunteering and taking care of our home and taking care of our kids, that often we forget to take care of ourselves, but we need to. And taking care of our mental health are the exact same ways that teens can take care of their mental health. We can get outside and we can help others and we can take a moment to breathe and pause. Little things that are calming, even if you're busy, you know, for me, lighting a candle just like kind of calms the mood in my home. Playing soft music again, or starting to get a little nicer, cracking a window and letting some fresh air in. Those are such little things. But for me, I know those things help me with my mental health. So like find the things that give you a little bit, just a little you know, a little break? Is it when you get home from work and you're in the garage before you like check emails when you park and then rush into the house? What if you just closed your eyes and set the timer on your phone for 1 minute and just breathed and were still or prayed? You know, what, or maybe when you get to work, maybe walk around the parking lot, get a lap of oxygen in your air and your blood flowing before you rush right into the office. What are the ways we can find just little pauses and take care of ourselves throughout the day so that we're more mentally stable? And also, like you were saying about teens, like if you're struggling with a real mental health issue, please, please go see a counselor. Like, take care of yourself so that you can take care of others.
Yeah, you're worth it. I think that's part of your message, right? Is you're valuable and you're important.
Absolutely.
And especially as parents, I always say you're modeling to your kids when you are doing these things. Mm-hmm. It's showing them that it's worth the 5 minutes, or if you're going to go see a counselor, be honest with your kids about that. To say, I'm in a season where I'm needing somebody to process with, and I'm talking to, or our marriage, you know, we've been married a certain amount of years and we're working on things and we're getting someone on the team. That models to our kids mm-hmm. healthy care for our mental health and not dismissing and waiting till things are in a crisis mode. So I love your passion for helping bringing this forward. It comes out of your own story. And again, having to live through places where it wasn't attuned to you, and you learning some skills. I hear journaling, going for walk, fresh air, creation, breathing, mm-hmm. Lighting a candle, smells. It's kind of sensory oriented is what I'm hearing you talk about in counseling world.
Very call sensory it grounding girl. Exercises.
Yeah, I love girl. It. But that is how God made us. It grounds us in the here and now. It brings us into the present when we engage our senses, and it pulls us out of that, what a lot of us want to stay in our thought life. And we're living in the future or the past, right? We're reliving the past, coulda, shoulda, wouldas, or we're moving forward and we're thinking about all the fears of what could be, and it leaves us missing out right here. So I love the attunement. Okay, so before we close up, this is the 5-minute devotions for teens, a guide to God and mental health. You have potentially a new book coming soon, and you have some other resources as well in this general resource for those that want to grow here. Talk about those.
Yeah, I have a book for adults coming out about mental health in January, and I have written 11 other books that are out there, ranging from novels for teens about some of the issues they go through to some really books to help ground us grownups, like Restore My Soul and How Sweet the Sound. So yeah, come check me out on my website, laurasmithauthor.com, and you know, blogs and free resources. And I'm just always trying to remind you how much Jesus loves you and that he wants goodness for you.
I love that, Laura. We have this organization called Courageous Girls, and we're helping moms and daughters, mostly moms, walk with their daughters at every stage of their growing years. So they started around second grade, and then they move into high school. Our Courageous Girls groups are, we've got a bunch of high schoolers, and moms are always looking for resources for their daughters, especially in a world with lots of confusing messages. And they're dealing with real issues, these girls who love Jesus, but there's just stuff everywhere. So talk a little bit about your novels and those resources that you've created for teens. And maybe some parents would love to jump on those and provide those for their own girls.
Sure. So I actually have two series for teens, two fiction series. And the novels are called Skinny, Hot, and Angry. They are stories of four high school friends. And in each of the books, a different girl faces a real issue. So in Skinny, the main character struggles with an eating disorder. And in Hot, the main character ends up having her first boyfriend and ends up having sex with him. And as a Christian, feels a lot of guilt and shame about that, and ends up finding the redeeming grace of Jesus in that story, because I think that's so important for our girls to know. I think we pray that our girls stay pure, but the statistics show us that just as many Christian girls are having sex as non-Christian girls. So I think it's really important that we show them how to stay in the faith and how loved they are, if that's a path they've gone down. I think the same with eating disorders. I think a lot of Christian girls feel a pressure to be perfect. I think Christian and non-Christian girls feel pressure to be perfect. And that's something even you shared at the beginning, Tara, how you had bulimia and from the outside, no one would know because you looked so perfect, right? And I think it's important that we understand this is something that our teenagers are dealing with and struggling with, and that they need to feel loved and seen in those spaces. And the third one is, and that series is called Angry, and the main character's parents are going through a divorce, which again, the statistics of divorce in the church are just as high as outside of the church, which is sad, but true. So we need to arm our teens with ways to cling to Jesus in these things. And that's the point of all these books is one, to create talking points. Sometimes it's easier to talk through a fictitious character or a fictitious scene than to say, I am struggling with this. It's to be like, oh, this character in this book is. It sometimes makes an easier segue into some good conversations, mamas, with your girls and girls with your moms. And second, to just show our teens like that Jesus loves them in all of it and that they can turn to him in the hardest things and in these things that you would think Christian people wouldn't want to talk about. Of course we want to talk about them. Like Jesus is with us in all of it. The second series I think is a little older. The main characters are college girls instead of high school girls. And the first one, it's complicated. One of the main characters is date raped. One in four of our girls will be sexually assaulted by the time they graduate from college. So I think this is just so important that we acknowledge and share and talk about getting counseling for our girls, but also supporting them and loving them in that so they don't feel shame for something that was done to them. The second one is called It's Over. And one of the girls, actually one of her siblings, passes away. And I think dealing with grief in general, again, such a hard thing. But when we cling to Jesus, it's easier, more doable than if we don't, right? And the last one in that series is called It's Addicting. And each of the characters, it's not none of them become drug addicts, but they all are addicted to something that is kind of consuming their lives more than their faith and more than their relationships is. And kind of as they realize these things that are kind of consuming them and how to get back to what really matters. So those first three, I actually have discussion guides on my website for all of them, for Skinny, Hot, and Angry. So those are good for small groups or book clubs to go through. And the last three don't have discussion guides, but I think can be some really great book conversations. I actually just spoke to a book club who read It's Over, and there was a really great conversation. So hopefully these will be great resources for moms and teens and groups.
Thank you so much, Laura, for providing those, because part of what Courageous Girls is doing is I'm trying to help these moms, equip them with the ability to walk alongside their daughters no matter what their stories are. Mm-hmm. And we somehow create a culture where we're trying to create perfect little girls when that's not what our job is as disciplers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is just dealing with our own stories. As you, all those statistics impact us moms. And I'm seen those in my office day in, day out by people who love Jesus that are dealing with real human concerns and violations. And so I appreciate the tactic you're going about. And I would stand by this as a clinician to say, yes, it is helpful to have a character out here that we talk about, gives us a starting point to find courage and to talk about our own stories. So thank you for writing these. And I would encourage moms to read them with your daughters, but even just buying them for your girls and being able to then maybe have a coffee date after and to talk about what they see around them, what they related to, what they didn't. But again, regardless of our stories, God doesn't leave us.
Never would he ever.
He's there for us and he will help us. Yeah, he will help us through. So thank you. I think these are enormous gifts, especially because they provide the what happens after what happened, which is a gift to so many moms and daughters. So thank you. We'll leave our listeners with one last word of hope and encouragement before we wrap up today.
Sure. Jesus created you in his image. He thinks that you are a masterpiece. He calls you royal and holy and chosen, no matter what the world calls you or you call yourself, no matter what's been done to you or what you've done to yourself. That's who Jesus says you are. So you are worth fighting for and caring for. And you matter so much to the creator of the universe and the king of everything. So you have value, and you're definitely worth taking care of yourself.
Thank you for that. Yes, I'll ditto on that. So it's 5-minute devotions for teens. Pick it up. Just leave it on your teen's pillow. You don't have to have a big conversation about it. That's one of the sly things with teens is sometimes if you lecture them too much, they're going to go the other way. Mm-hmm. So just leave it next to their bed. Maybe out of curiosity, they'll open it up and let the spirit lead there. Laura, thank you for creating these resources. And check out Laura Smith's, all of the things that she has written. She's a beautiful storyteller, has a heart of gold. And I'm grateful to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And if you are needing any sort of professional support, we provide all kinds of resources at Living Wholehearted. You've heard of executive coaching. We're come alongside leaders and organizations, helping them with the people issues that keep them up at night and helping leaders with a lot of their mental health. But we also have a professional counseling team where we're coming alongside couples and teens and children and families, and we're helping you with that professional, clinical, biblical, and relational wisdom. Our team is very exceptional, I will say. And we can only see clients in the Oregon area. That's just part of the clinical counseling world. But if you need a resource in your area, you can also reach out to us and we'll try to see if we can help you with your zip code. But check us out at livingwholehearted.com. Join our monthly newsletters and you'll be always resourced with a lot of help and support for home, work, and your life in the community.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.